Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 354. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. It's free. Postage and handling is taken care of as well. As you order, make sure you specify whether you want an audio tape or a CD. We have strong messages today. Yesterday I was going to do the second chapter of Revelation, but the Lord had something else in mind, so I did something else. And now we are going to, I live by faith, and according to the law of faith, and that law is mentioned in the book of Romans, third chapter, and that is Romans 3:27. It's the law of faith. In other words, if you want something from the law, you have to believe, you have to have faith. That's the law. It's like the police officer of the Lord. You believe in the law, well then, be quiet and have faith. Amen?
Amen.
I was here in a courtroom where the judge said, "Young man, do you believe in the law?" And one of our boys said, "Yes, sir, I sure do." And he said, "Well then, sit down and shut up." In other words, that's supposed to be the law. The law of faith is that you believe the Lord. First of all, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that means really have faith in the whole word of God and thou shalt be saved. Why do you say the whole law of faith? It's because you have to have faith in the whole word of God, because Jesus is the whole word of God. And we also have music, singing, and we have a strong message. I'm going to attempt to do the second chapter of Revelation. And we've got a very strong testimony, if the Lord will allow me to have it read. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord, according to the law of faith, because the Lord is angered when people are pretending to pray, instead of believing that He really is, and that He really does hear, and He really does answer. So when I say, let's go to the throne of the Lord, I'm not saying that in an idle manner. I'm saying it according to the law of Romans chapter 3, verse 27. That's part of the Word of God, and we have to believe the whole Word of God in order to be saved. So, in according to faith, the law of faith, let's go to the throne. Father, destroy all of our enemies. Put an end to all of the oppression. Lord, send in huge finances because we see there's so great of a need throughout the world, and I know you see that as well. And these are not idle prayers, Lord. These are prayers of faith. And I pray that you anoint this service and that people will be able to receive or prepare their hearts to receive this message. Prepare their hearts to receive by faith, according to the law of faith, this message, so that they can legally be saved. Some people say that I have a legalistic ministry. Well, I certainly prefer being legal than illegal, because you do have the law of faith. You have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And there also is the moral law, which you have, that has never ended. The law of sacrifices has ended, as far as animals are concerned, but it's our reasonable duty to sacrifice ourselves, according to the law of faith, to be able to get into the kingdom of heaven. And there also is another law that I will not obey, and that's the law of sin and death. Lord, I pray that people will receive this message by faith, that their souls may be saved, and that the church will become zealous by being strengthened by your precious word. And this is the law of faith. In Jesus we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, now I did say that we have some songs here. This is J.D. Sumner and myself in the Stance Quartet singing, "He Brought Me Out of the Miry Clay." It's recorded at Johnny Cash's studio in Hendersonville, Tennessee.
My heart was distressed, with Jehovah's dreadful, and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down. I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to go there. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He put a song in my
Lord, but Satan has done everything in his power to try to destroy the work of God, my work of God that the Lord has given me to do here on this earth. And the Lord wanted me to get him and his church together. And I want to point out something here that, first of all, Adam, his wife, came out of him. And I want to point out that the church is produced out of the body of Christ, out of Christ himself. And it's the head, actually. And his body is produced out of himself as life. And second, the church is produced out of the transformation of God. We have to be transformed by God. And, of course, Christ is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I was talking about the different parables in yesterday's message. The first four parables that the Lord spoke, our Lord and Savior, is the life that's sown into us. When we, the Lord is the sower. He's sowing the seed. That's him, himself. And then he sows life into us. Well, how is life sown into us? Well, seed seems to be dead. Actually, Christ likened himself as a seed. And he said that he had to die as a seed, so far as concerned. The word is dead unless the Spirit gives life unto the word. So the word of God is God. But there has to be the Spirit in the word of God in order for it to be quickened into you. In other words, to be come into you as life. Now, a seed looks like it's dead, but you throw it into the ground, and because of the moisture in the ground, the seed comes forth as the first step. A blade, and then an ear, and then the rest of the corn. And so this is the parable of the sower. So the Lord is sowing, and we don't know how, the Bible says, we don't know how a seed by moisture in the earth combined together become something that sprouts out of the earth and is beautiful, and like a flower. But because the seed is not beautiful at all. It's just looks like a little piece of nothing. You throw it into the soil, and the Word of God, it doesn't look like anything, but when it's read in the Spirit, it enters into your heart, and there's something about the germination, the Word of God, which is Spirit and life. It has to have the Spirit in you, so it has to have the faith. In other words, it must be, it comes alive when you obey the law of faith. You believe that God's word is the word. That's the truth. Romans 3:27, the law of faith. Not by works, and the good works, all of our works are like filthy rags unto the Lord. So these first four parables, the life is sown into us. The life of God is sown into us. And the Lord likens it as regular seed, like flowers or vegetables or fruit trees or whatever, is sown into the ground. And there's some chemical reaction or spiritual or life-giving thing that happens when the seed meets the soil. And the Word of God is like the seed, and Christ is the seed. They're one and the same. The Word of God, the seed, is Christ, the Word. So believe on the word, on the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. That's what Jesus told the devil, and that's what I tell you. And that's what the word tells you, and that's what the word tells me. And so the devil believes the word, because when the Lord told him that, and two more reproofs by the word of the Lord, the devil left. Because there isn't anything that the devil can do to anybody that believes the word. In other words, if you have faith that the Lord restored mankind back to God, in other words, they become his body, then the devil has no more power over us. Because the word is the power. We are able to receive all things from the Lord by the law of faith. Faith is a substance then, isn't it?
Amen.
It's a substance of things desired. Amen? So we have a desire to get closer to the Lord or to have more of the Lord happening in us, and we have a desire to have the devil be removed from our life. Well, the Lord has given us the power over sin, over Satan, over death, over hell, over ourselves, because ourselves, you know, you take the Lord out of us and we're, our whole natural body is where Satan lives. He's been living in us for all of our life until we were saved. And so we cannot obey any longer the law of sin and death. And there's so many false teachers that say no one can be perfect, but the Lord demands that we're perfect. And he said, in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we are perfect. And we can't argue with those that have the rule over us. For those that labor in the Word, you're supposed to give double honor to those that labor in the Word, those that are soul winners. He that winneth souls is wise, so he that winneth the most souls must be the wisest. Amen? And you don't argue with wise people. You listen to them and learn. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so the first four parables, the life is sown into us. That's what the parables are about. That's Jesus or life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So when life is sown into us, the eternal life, that means that Jesus is sown into us. Jesus is the seed, and we are the earth, sown into our earthy heart. And then on the fifth and sixth parable, there is a transformation of life. Then you can understand why, in the New Jerusalem, the city proper is made of gold, the gates are pearl, and the foundations and the wall itself are made of precious stones. Revelations 21. Chapter 21, verses 18, 19, 20, and 21. This is what the Lord is seeking. A building of gold and pearls and precious stones to, with no leaven, no sin in there whatsoever. No spot, no wrinkle, no blemish. There can't be any sin, Satan, or anything, or flesh, self. Everything is the Lord. This isn't about you or me. It's about the Lord. And if you want to be in heaven or in the Lord, then you must obey the law of faith. In other words, you must believe the Lord's word. In order, it's because the word is the Lord. And if you want the Lord in you, you must receive him as truth by faith, the law of faith. If you don't believe that the Lord is the truth, then what in the world is truth? That's what Pilate says, and what is truth? And here truth was staring him right in the face. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus is the way, the truth, and also the life. And he's the way to the kingdom of heaven. There's the law of the way to heaven. In other words, we must follow the word, which is the way. The Lord, in the book of Hebrews, says around four or five times at least, you know, to obey those that have the rule over you. Pray for those that have the rule over you. Amen?
Amen?
Pray for them because they care for your soul. Okay? And I have to care for your soul because if I don't, then I don't care for my own soul. The Bible says, if I do something wrong to you, it's like me doing something wrong to the Lord. And I don't want to face that at the judgment bar of God. So if you have a need and I'm able to give it to you, and the Lord gives me the ability to give it to you, and I withhold it from you, well, then I'm guilty of disobeying the law of faith. And therefore, I'll be found guilty at the judgment bar of God. I want to stand before the mercy seat of Christ. So this is what the Lord is seeking, is a building of gold, pearls, precious stones in heaven. I look to the Lord, and no leaven at all. No sin. I look to the Lord that in these days he will grant the power that you may see and the wisdom knowledge and understanding of the Lord, that you may see the intention of the Lord, the desire of the Lord, and the goal of the Lord. Now, people say that the Lord wants to give you the good life. This is like where you hear these preachers. You know, the Lord wants you to have the good life. He wants you to have the good life. In other words, what he's talking about is, you know, get a new big car, big home, to send your kids to some university where they get drugged up and they're taught all the false doctrines of this world. There's a lot of people that preach that garbage. The good life is being born again of the Spirit and to be with the Lord always. It doesn't make any difference if you have to sleep with your head on a rock for a pillow. That's the good life, is to know that your soul is saved. Amen?
Amen.
And to know the Lord and to know His Word. And let the Lord bless you instead of you trying to bless yourself or allowing somebody else to bless you. Okay? Just because of you instead of that you're doing the work of the Lord. So few people will bless anyone that's really doing the work of the Lord. But the Lord blesses me, all right?
Amen.
Even if you don't. If you want to practice the church life rather than the good life, you must have a clear understanding of all these parables concerning the church. And to summarize everything, to sum everything up, Christ is the seed of life, and He is sown into us for the transformation of life. In other words, we exchange our temporal, worthless, nothing, not achieving anything type of life. And if you're achieving money, you know that that is not anything. We have, because you can't ride around in more than one car. You can't sleep in more than one bed unless you push two beds together. And what good would that do? It'd be very uncomfortable. You can't eat more than one meal unless you want to become fat as a pig. So we have nothing to do with the big tree or the leaven. All these things are under the transformation of life. They have to become good. They have to become like gold, precious stones, and beautiful pearls as building material for God's building to live in, for Him to live in. The Lord sacrificed all that He was and all that He had, and the reason for it was to obtain the precious building materials for His temple to live in, His building, His church, His bride. He gave Himself up to buy the pearl of great price. So today, it is worthwhile for us to sacrifice everything like the Lord did. Should Jesus bear the cross alone and all of us go free? Absolutely not, for there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for you and me. Amen?
Amen.
So it's worthwhile for us to sacrifice everything and pay the price. And we can't do that. And if we don't do that, we'll never realize what it is to live the church life. All right, now I've got a testimony here. Now we have hundreds of testimonies, but we'll be able to read one of them today. Go ahead.
This is from India. Our dearest world pastor Lama, greetings to you in the almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please give me a chance to talk to you. Many times I have called you through the telephone, but every time I have talked to co-workers of Alamo Christian Ministries. I am very, very happy to talk to you about Alamo Christian Ministries India. I would like to share my success in winning souls directly with you. I want to sincerely thank you for printing our Alamo Christian Ministries India Kaikaram photograph in your recent world newsletter. And thank you for your sermon CDs, How to Have God's Life Living in You. I am playing them in our church. Many educated people are responding to your messages. Many nominal Christians are coming to church, first time in their lives. I think they want to have God's life living in them. They told me I am coming to church to have God's life living in me. I am very happy. I am never enjoyed such happiness in my life, but when I am winning souls.
See, this is the good life, amen, that this man's talking about. Happiness, joy, peace of mind. All these things are far more than having a bank account and having no blessings of God and to be bitter. You know, there's no need to be bitter. If you do what the Lord says, He'll give you everything. And if you think, the Lord's not capable of giving me everything, then you're not obeying the law of faith. The law of faith in Romans 3:27. You're never going to realize the church life. All you're going to do is be a bitter piece of garbage that God will eventually destroy with fire because you have no faith in God's ability to make you happy, to give you joy, to give you peace of mind, to give you money, to give you health, happiness, and life eternal in the kingdom of God. There's so many things that Christians need to be thankful for. These people are happy. I had a vision the other day of, it was like a more of a dream vision, but the vision, when there's a little vision to it, it always sticks with me. And most dreams, you know, they just come and go and you don't remember them at all. But I saw what looked like a university campus, but I just saw a portion of it, and it was like a huge stone building, and there was grass and sidewalks, and people were moving happily up and down these sidewalks headed for this building. And somehow I had the knowledge that I was preaching in that building, and they were happy because they were receiving eternal life in that building. And they could have cared less about anything. They were just ordinary people. Younger people, and some were old, but they were just all rejoicing because they were learning how to bring in the sheaves. Those of you that have never lived in farms, you don't know what the sheaves are. I mean, there's a harvest time, and they are out winning souls so that they can be accredited for them at the judgment bar, at the mercy seat of Christ. The Lord is going to ask you, did you believe? Did you believe? Did you have faith? Did you obey the law of faith? Did you, I came here to acquire a building for me to live in, a church for me to live in. And did you help put that building together? Did you help cement that building by giving everything that you had in your power, in your life? If you didn't have money, but you gave your life to back up the preachers, the teachers, the evangelists, the pastors that I've called, and the prophets, did you? Or did you do everything that you could to pull them down? When you saw everybody being so happy, so much so full of joy for receiving life, liberty, happiness, joy, unspeakable joy. These people that I saw in that dream vision were so happy, and they were walking quickly to the church. Praise the Lord. And I just know that the Lord has got a huge ministry ahead for me. It was like the whole world was receiving life just before Jesus comes back to earth again. These flying saucers also represent that the Lord is coming back to earth again and that He's going to do a quick work. They move swift. They move fire with fire and with zeal. And they move like lightning. In other words, they're getting the job done for the Lord. We're the final Christians on earth. We're the mop-up crew. We're doing the last job of God. We're just pulling all the people in that we possibly can. And it's a quick work because this world is like a time bomb ready to go off. Okay, so read the rest of this man's testimonial here.
I never enjoy such happiness in my life but when I am winning those hard souls for Christ.
This man is a real man of God, isn't he?
Amen.
You can tell that. Because you don't have happiness unless you're winning souls, because you know you're not achieving anything in this world unless you're treating people in this world like you do, you would Christ. Christ said, inasmuch as you did evil unto one of the people in this world, you did it unto me. And if you give people, he says, a glass of water, when they're thirsty, and you feed them when they're hungry, and you visit them when they're in prison and in hospitals. And he says, inasmuch that you've done that, you did it unto me. Okay, so the Lord likens everybody that we run into as Christian, as himself. Amen?
Amen.
So don't be looking at some bum laying in the gutter like it's a bum laying in the gutter. Look at it, that's Christ, and who is being beaten down by people. And that's Christ that's laying in the gutter there. Because he was beaten down some way, something happened to him in his life to where he's got beaten down into the gutter. And so we have to be like the Good Samaritan. He tells us that that is a better person than anyone that just looks at and say, are you a Catholic or a Protestant? That isn't what's going to get you into heaven. What's going to get you into heaven is you go over there and put your arm around the person. Or if they're so dirty you don't want to touch me, at least you say, is there anything I can help you with? Can I help you? Are you sick? Is there something wrong with you? Can I take you home with me? Can I take you to a hotel room or a motel? Can I buy you dinner? Can I buy you lunch? Can I take you to church? Can we put you up for the rest of your life? We will gladly pay for your utility bills. We have houses at our church. We'll put you in. We'll take you in. We'll feed you, clothe you, house you, even your wife and children. All you have to do is just love the Lord, because I'm doing this not because of me, because the Lord said, if I do this to people, this is how good God is, that are laying in the gutter, he says, inasmuch as you've done that unto them, you've done it unto me. Amen?
Amen.
So this is why people should sow it. And then if you do that, then you know you're right with the Lord, because you're obeying the law of faith. This is what the Word says that we're supposed to do, and you have faith in that. You don't pass it by. There's a friend of mine in the Texarkana that says that one of his pastor dressed up like a bum, and he was leaning against a building, you know, just outside the church, and everybody in the church had to go by him. And they all walked far away on the other side of the sidewalk. And as soon as the church filled up, then the pastor walked in dressed as a bum. And he said, you people are not Christians, and I'm ashamed that you're in my church. He said, that was me standing on the corner, and not one of you offered me a glass of water. You didn't offer me a morsel of food. You didn't offer me or ask me if I wanted to come to church. You're afraid I was going to stink the church up. And here, really, it is that I am your pastor. And the Lord is in me, and this should be a reproof unto you, but it's doubtful that any of you will change. Okay? So they were not obeying the law of faith, which, in other words, had faith in the scriptures that said, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of the people, my people, God created everybody, didn't he?
Amen.
Who are you to abuse the people that God created? Who are you to make up false laws, you judges, against people that God created? Inasmuch as you sent people to prison on false charges, God will do that to you unless you repent. I have no bitterness in me that these Judge McCullough sent me to prison for 4 years. He gave me a 6-year sentence for something I didn't do. And he knew it. And the prosecutor knew it as well. Because this is going to go against him at the judgment bar of God, but I wish him no ill, because if I did, well, then I'd be as bad as he is. I pray that the man will be saved and repent. Because inasmuch as he did that unto me, and I'm not one of the Lord's least, he told me one time in Nashville, Tennessee, when I went outside our house over in Oak Hill, he said, you're all that I have. And if you're doing that unto me, well, you're not doing to one of the least. I wonder what the Lord said that he would do to if you did something to the all that he had. He said it'd be better for you to have a millstone so heavy that it would take an ox to move it, hanged around your neck, and that you'd be cast into the depths of the sea. So repent, will you please? repent so that your soul will be saved. Repent of everything that you've done and said about others that were untrue, because the Lord does not want your soul to go to hell, and because he doesn't, I don't want you to go to hell either. Okay, so repent and believe the gospel. Believe the law of faith in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:27. That's a law. And I, as an officer of the Lord, have to tell you what the law is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Okay, then what does this man say?
I am very, very happy. Absolutely, this credit only goes to World Pastor Tony Lomo.
No, it goes to the Lord and only the Lord, but he knows what I mean. I know what he means. Then what?
I am very happy to be a mediator between Pastor Lomo and those Hindu and hard nominal Christian souls.
Well, praise the Lord, all right. And what it is the things that he's saying about me is actually the Lord gave me all these, all right? So then what else?
Really, your literature creates a new wonder, not only in the USA, but in India also. People will change after hearing the direct messages of some pastors, evangelists, and preachers. But people are converting to Christ by just reading your literature. What a wonderful job you are doing.
But we have to. This is fruit. When you witness all this, is fruit that you're bearing. The Lord likens us as fruit-bearing branches. All right, so when you bear fruit, that isn't enough. But you have to bring the fruit to perfection. And that's what the Lord is mentioning in the second chapter of Revelation. He says, that people don't bring fruit to perfection. He's rebuking the different churches. And so we have to patiently deal with all these souls that keep making so many mistakes when they come into Christ. And we're not too weary in doing that, because it's just another new crop of young babe Christians coming in. And they are going through the same things that the other ones went through, and we have to patiently deal with them in that manner. Otherwise, we're not doing the will of the Lord. But there comes a time when some of the people that just keep not receiving what you tell them, then that the Lord says for us to rebuke them. And if they reject what us leaders are saying, then we have to reject them in the church, because they have, he said, we're not to receive them when they have doubtful disputations. When they dispute with me, when I'm telling them what the Word of God says, I'm not allowed to keep them in the church, because they don't have faith. The law of faith, they don't obey the law of faith. They have doubtful disputations against the Word of God. They think that God is called the wrong people to be the rule over them. And therefore, they're full of doubtful disputations, and they just somehow got some quirky thing in them, some Satan has sown, some a bunch of weeds or tares into their hearts. He has contaminated their spirits, and they need to pray that God will take these contaminations out of their spirits, because I don't want them to go to hell either. I spent a lot of years preaching the gospel to some of these people, and yet they've left the church and then brought false accusations against me. All right, and then let's keep going with this man's testimony. Yes, woman.
I hope you have a seat on the right side of our Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. I'm just happy to be in heaven. Amen. Then what?
If there are 10 real servants of the Lord in this world will easily realize Christ is the Savior of this sinful world and turn to Christ. I would like to do evangelistic work like you, at least 10% in your work. You are providing us, Alamo Christian Ministries India, Karakoram, literature, newsletters, tapes, and valuable Telugu and English Bibles. Thank you for each and everything you are sending. Here, I and Alamo soul-winning team members are visiting many more areas in the God-given new year. I believe this year is God's gift to work hard and win many souls in 2007, but I am facing the scarcity of Telugu Bibles. After reading your tracts, many people have been and are currently baptized into Christ. Please send more literature, 80 Telugu Bibles and 50 English Bibles. God has told me to invite you to India. For 25 years, I and my family are working hard to win these hard Indian and Hindu souls for the Lord's kingdom. World Pastor, many want to welcome you, but they cannot write English or send email, so they all are requesting me to welcome you to India. We are interested to hear your message. They want to tell you their problems, sicknesses, and bad habits directly to you, and they want your prayer by laying your hands on their head.
Well, that would be wonderful if you could write them all down and email them to me, or send them on a tape, and I will answer every one of their questions from the Lord. The Lord will answer their questions through me. Okay, then what? Because I just can't go everywhere. I get invitations from all over the world, and I just can't go, even though I'd love to. Then what?
Then we will be healed, and all of our family personal problems will go away.
Amen. Because if they're obeying the law of faith, then all things are possible. All problems will go away. You'll walk on the water, this turbulent world, on top of the water, and you will be full of joy and happiness. They will, just as you are. Then what? And just as I am. Then what?
Totally, they need your messages and prayers. I will hold a crusade meeting here in Kaikoram, and definitely 10,000 to 15,000 people will attend per night. So in our 4 days meeting, 60,000 people will attend and hear God's word through your voice. I will make all arrangements for you and your team to stay, traveling, everything. Sir Alamo Christian Ministries India's vision for 2007 is to reach 5 million souls through reaching 105 villages with Alamo literature and our soul-winning team. If we are reaching tribal areas, they question us, who is Christ? What is meant by Savior? What is meant by Son of God? One day, really, I have faced those questions. They do not know 1% about Christ. Those areas are very far from my village. I strongly believe that Alamo Christian Ministry...
But they're hungry to know. Amen? Amen. What about the people of the United States? They just shine it on. Amen?
Amen.
And you better have faith, you know, to get saved and get right with the Lord. Because the Lord is doing a quick work in these last days. Okay, then what else?
I strongly believe Alamo Christian Ministries India will win more than 1 million souls because we have God's powerful word in our hands. That is your literature.
Now, this is just one work that we have in India. We have hundreds of people distributing there. Okay, and then what? But this man is so rich in faith. Then what?
We need a vehicle to reach long-distance areas along with the Alamo parcels and Alamo soul-winning teams.
So come on, you people out there, you know, don't rob God. Let this man loose. Donate money here to give the man a... we're not government-sponsored at all. We work for our money, and we do the best we can with what we have. But we need your help to help these people out. Yeah, can you contribute an automobile to send over there? We'll give you the address. We don't... or some money that we can send the money over there to get him an automobile. Well, the way we would do that is we would talk to the automobile company and send the money to them directly, and they'd have it. And it needs to be an automobile big enough to carry literature and Bibles and everything as well as a bunch of Christian workers. Okay, and then what else?
Alamo Christian Ministries India is planning to send some young men and women to those areas to work as his servants on a permanent basis.
Read a little bit faster.
I would like to establish churches in those areas. I mean with low expenses and pay some little salaries. Alamo Christian Ministries...
Well, we don't pay salaries. This is all volunteer. But what we do, if people want to serve the Lord, we pay all of your expenses. You live in the church. Keep the rules, and you just do what this man is doing and what we're doing, getting the gospel out and witness and testify and all that. And if you want to do that, you don't have another worry the rest of your life. All right, then what else?
Alamo Christian Ministries India is planning to start...
We pay for your hospitalization, if you need teeth work, dentist work done, eyeglasses, clothing, everything is provided here. We're told that we have to write checks for everybody that's in the church, even the old people that are not doing any work or crippled people and stuff. And we fought that out in court, because no church does that. And what they said is that we could use benefits. Well, they checked us out and said that the benefits that people get in this church are a minimum $3,000 to $4,000 and up to $5,000 and $10,000 a month, because we have great benefits. Nobody lacks anything. They live as good as you can possibly live. There's no better life in the world. Now, this is one of the greatest ideas I've ever heard. Now, we're going to be able to get churches everywhere now. Read that.
Alamo Christian Ministries India is planning to start an Alamo Word Vision Book House to keep all kinds of Alamo literature, CDs, tapes, newsletters, T-shirts, English and Telugu Bibles. Interested people will come to this Alamo Ministries office library and read your literature and hear your messages.
See, what we could do is any of you people out there that would like to sponsor one of these, what does he call it?
Alamo Word Vision Bookhouse.
So any of you that would like to sponsor one of these Alamo Vision Word workshops, you could open one in your area. And what it is, it's like a storefront. You pay anywhere from $50 to maybe $300-$500 a month. You sponsor it, and we'll furnish you with all the Bibles, the tapes, the audio tapes, all the literature that I've written. And it's like people are opening up universities with the literature that I've written, and you can just be in there and be a soul winner and have your own, what do you call it again?
Alamo Word Vision Bookhouse.
And we could open one in New York. If you want to sponsor that one and you want to work in there, that'll be it. As long as you're distributing that really good literature that the Lord has given me, and Bibles and tapes and CDs, and we're going to be doing some DVDs. And this is just wonderful. Then we can have churches everywhere. That's like a mini church, amen?
Amen.
Because people will, and then we put a big sign out there, we'll fix the sign up. And but, you know, you have to pay the rent. We just can't do that. We could expand to every city in the country if you people would like to open one of these, and our distributors. So come on, let's, you deep pocket people, reach in there and let's do unto the people so that you can say at the judgment bar of God, or mainly, you'll be at the mercy seat of Christ, because you had mercy on those that are lost, the Lord will have mercy on you at the mercy seat of Christ. And you won't have to go before the judgment bar of God. You'll go to heaven. Mm-hmm. Then what?
We will appoint there two or three educated people, because if illiterates come to our library and they can't read and understand your English, even they can't read Telugu language, then our library people will read and explain your literature to those illiterates. And in every home here is no tape and CD players. We cannot provide a player to every home along with Alamo CDs. If we arrange a tape and CD player, people can come to Alamo Word Vision House and hear God's word through Alamo's voice. If any local pastor needs Alamo's literature, then we will send them Alamo literature from Alamo Word Vision Bookhouse. I hope this Alamo Vision Bookhouse will be a blessed house to many heathen people. I strongly believe...
Oh, it will, for sure. Then what? And also here in the United States, all the heathens. Then what?
I strongly believe and pray to our wonderful God that Alamo Christian Ministries India's vision for 2007 will be granted in your kind presence. Expecting a joyful letter as early as possible. We always pray for you, your health, your ministry, your family, and your son, Sion. We shall wait...
And what about my little daughter, Antoinette? Or we spell Tony Alamo, T-O-N-I. She's only 5.5 years. Well, she's more than that. She'll be 6 in June. I mean, pray for her, too. And her mother. Okay, then what?
We shall wait for a kind answer from you. May the Lord richly bless you. Thanking you, World Pastor, sincerely in his service and love, Pastor J. Raju from Alamo Ministries, India.
Oh, praise the Lord. I know God is blessing you real good, brother. Praise the Lord. Okay, now let's get right into the book of Revelation chapter 2. We've only got a few minutes here, and I want to get some of this in. Okay?
Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven...
Okay, the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? Okay, so go ahead and read it.
These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks.
Okay, well, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven golden candlesticks are the seven churches. It's just like the flying saucers that you see. These are symbolic of Christ as the hub. It's the wheel within the wheel that Ezekiel saw in the first chapter of Ezekiel. So it's the Lord is in the midst of his church. This is all. The pearl of great price is the church. Not you or I, but all of us together as one church, doing a very swift work for the Lord. And the way that this man said to open up these many churches or libraries Alamo Libraries, this is a very good way to get the word out swiftly, all over the world quickly. Okay, then what?
I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil.
Okay, now this is the Lord saying, I know your works. He's complimenting them here. Well, he says what again?
I know thy works and thy labor.
What verse is this?
Verse 2.
Okay, he says, I know thy works and thy labor. In other words, we're doing a good job. We're out there laboring. And thy patience. Because the Bible says that we have to win fruit, but there's some people that never bring about fruit to perfection. In other words, we have to teach all the people that we win to the Lord. And otherwise, and if we leave off, they fall away from the Lord and start living what they call the good life. The good life. All this stuff that these false preachers are preaching instead of the happy life and the joyful life. Okay, so we are joyfully being happy and patient and bringing these people, these souls, to perfection. That thou cannot not bear them which are evil. I can't stand people that absolutely will not repent. I preach the gospel to them, but it says that you can't bear them. And the Lord said, that isn't wrong. He says, and that thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. They're not apostles. And has found them, these false preachers and teachers, liars. And has borne and has patience. And for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Oh, I'll never faint. Never faint. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Well, what's the first love? You know, when you first get saved, I believe that the first love, the Spirit has come to you, there's all this happiness and joy, and then all of a sudden you're out there. I remember when I got saved, I went to all the news stations in town and told them, Jesus is coming back to earth again. Oh, God, and I just took pounds of leaflets and went all over the city distributing. I couldn't wait until the sun came up. And I'd run down the street putting the literature on cars. And they used to call Susie and myself the God Squad. She'd drive the car because I got bad eyes. And then whenever I saw a soul on the street, I sort of stopped, and Susie'd stop, and I'd jump out of the car and give them a piece of literature. And they started calling my church the God Squad here in Hollywood. Now remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. In other words, be zealous, or I'll spit you out of my mouth. Else I will come unto thee quickly, just like a flying saucer, lightning, faster than lightning, and full of fire, and I will remove thy candlestick, in other words, your church, out of his place, except thou repent. In other words, get back out there with fire and zeal and lightning speed. And open these different churches and get this going. But this thou hast. This one thing that you do have on top of all the things that I complimented you for is that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And Jesus says, which I also hate. I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. He doesn't say that he hates the Nicolaitans, but he hates their deeds. And these are the false prophets, the false teachers, the false preachers, the false religions. And the Lord hates them. I do hate these false teachers, preachers, evangelists, and I'm pleading with you, get saved, man. Now, that's love, you know, but I hate your deeds. I love your soul, but I hate your deeds. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus says, I hate them too. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, the Word of God, in other words, saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, in other words, repents, will I give to eat of the tree of life. Now, Jesus is the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Ah, I see my time is up. Praise the Lord. And I pray that you received faith from the Word of God today. So this is your opportunity to receive not only faith, but to put some action behind your faith and accept the Lord Jesus Christ now as your Savior, your personal Savior. So all you need to do is to say this prayer unto the Lord and mean it with your heart. And the Lord requires our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, say this prayer to Him. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. And therefore, I know that you have heard me. And I know that you have answered me. Your word says you won't turn anyone away. And I know that I'm saved. And therefore, I know I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm really saved. I should be full of joy and happiness. Thank the Lord and praise Him. Raise your hands up to the Lord and let Him know that you love Him for saving your soul and giving Himself for you. Okay, so just praise and thank the Lord. And then make sure you get baptized in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And be baptized with the Holy Spirit, which is the compounded, multiple Spirit of God, so that you can have the power to live in these last days. And order this tape if you need to. I'm sure you'll want to. Program number 354, CD or audio tape, free of charge, postage and handling taken care of. And Sharon, tell them four ways that you can receive a copy of it.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. Well, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerful message from the Lord Jesus Christ, from the Word of God, so that you can be a member of the church with Christ walking in the midst of the golden candlesticks of churches in the hub of the flying saucer, this symbolic of this church in Christ in our midst of these last days, going throughout the world like lightning, opening up churches, real churches in small storefronts or wherever, so that we can get the Word of God out to people that can't read or people that are without. Here's H.B. Barnum's Life Choir singing Life Prayer Song. Praise the Lord. God bless all of you. Amen.